Leader Abrams, thanks for joining us. So Democrats have won just one of the 8 statewide runoff elections held in Georgia since 1988. But some Republicans are worried that President Trump's continued baseless claims of a rigged election might discourage their voters from showing up this time. Do you think that's real, or is that just Democratic wishful thinking?
Democrats are prepared to win this election because this is the first runoff where we have the level of investment and engagement that it takes to win a runoff. We know from the numbers that we're in a good place. 1.2 million absentee ballots have been requested thus far. And just to put that into context, 1.3 million were requested for all of the general election. And of that 1.2 million, 85,000 of those applications are from voters who did not vote in the general election, and they are disproportionately between the ages of 18 and 29 and disproportionately people of color. What that signals is that there's enthusiasm for John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, and it signals that we understand that we may need to make a plan to vote and deliver this election. What Donald Trump is doing, the disinformation is deeply problematic. I don't know if he's going to help or harm his team, but we know that on our side of the conversation, we are pushing for leaders who will actually do the work of delivering COVID relief to Georgia.
David Domke, first things for a Wednesday. Is it Wednesday already? My gosh, Wednesday, December 16th. Stacey Abrams.
The architect of the Georgia Renaissance that we're seeing there. I'm going to steal Charles Douglas's word, right? Renaissance. The architect of the Renaissance there. Abrams, nobody knows or has a better sense of the movement on the ground there and what's happening. I will adjust two things in Abrams's words because that clip is from, I believe, Saturday. Or no, I'm sorry, Sunday. Today is Wednesday. She said 1.2 million people have requested absentee ballots in Georgia. As of this morning, it's 1.6 million. Really? 1.6 million people have requested absentee ballots. So that's just, it reflects an increase over the last couple of days. And that's a pretty significant increase over the last couple of days. People can request absentee ballots all the way till December 31st. But the Democrats are saying to be done doing that somewhere around the 20th or so of December, because they want to avoid the length of time in the mail of the ballot coming and then having to be returned. So we're beyond the number she had said. Second, she said that 1.3 million were requested in the general election. I think that's a mistake. I know that 1.3 million was the number of people who voted by absentee. I believe that the absentee request number were much higher, somewhere in the 2 millions. Because I know that it was 2 million plus back in the primary in the summer. I wasn't able this morning to find out the exact number of requests for the general, because there's always a gap between requests and actual returned ballots. What the number for sure, though, in the general was 1.3 million of returned absentee ballots. We're at 1.6 million requested absentee ballots right now. So knowing that there'll be a gap between the percent, the number who request and the number who return, this numbers look really good for the runoff. I think there'll be less of a gap in the runoff election than in the general election, because people who are engaged with the runoff really, I think, have a mission on either political side, have a mission in mind. Like, they know what they're doing, they're dialed in, and they're going to request a ballot and then they're going to vote on it. Whereas the general election, there were many, many months of requests of absentee ballots, and people could have gotten disillusioned, disengaged. They could have been lower likely to vote folks who just said, forget it, or just, you know, got lost interest in some way. So I think that the likelihood of us getting over 1.3 million absentee ballot votes in this election, the runoff elections, is high. So that would top the general election in absentee ballots. All right, that's a lot of math. Those are a lot of numbers. The reason I go into all of that is because historically, the drop-off in turnout of voters actually turning out to vote has been enormous from general elections to runoff elections. It's dropped off across 8 runoff elections in Georgia since 1988. The drop-off has been between 40% and 90%. Wow. Of a drop-off. Yeah, enormous. And the biggest drop-offs have been among the Democrats. They have voters who turn out in general elections, which is the presidential elections or the general midterm elections, but then don't come out for the runoff. This time, it's looking like the Democrats are turning out in a significant way. So we're in a runoff territory that we've never been in before. And that's what it's going to take. It doesn't mean the Democrats will win, but it's a necessary condition for them to win.
I was struck by the other statistic that young people were requesting ballots. That's an interesting stat.
Yeah, and we know that when you look, so Georgia, let me back up and say, so the runoff elections are January 5th. Early in-person voting started Monday. Absentee ballot voting has been going on for a couple weeks. We're at, where are we at? We're at about 600,000 total ballots have come in already, either in-person or absentee. They do not have party registration in Georgia when people register to vote. Why that means something is that we never know how a person actually votes, but we do, it is public knowledge for those states that collect party registration when someone registers to vote. We are able to say, hey, David Domke voted in Washington. He's registered as a Democrat. We actually don't collect party registration in this state either, so you'd never be able to look that up on me. But about half the states do collect party affiliation when people register to vote. And so you can see as a proxy for what people's likely vote is, you can look and say, hey, 200,000 Democrats have voted, 100,000 Republicans have voted. This looks like a strong Democratic turnout. You don't know for sure who they voted for, but you know their party registration. They don't have that in Georgia. What you can look at is age. They do show that publicly. And they do show racial identification of voters. And so the point you made, we're able to see that younger voters are requesting absentee ballots at a higher rate than in the general election. Not astronomically, but meaningfully. And African-American voters or mixed race voters are requesting at higher numbers than in the general election. Both of those are complete reversals of what are generally the case during runoff elections, when those drop-offs significantly drop among, the vote turnout drops among Democrats. So there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic, but we have, you know, three weeks to go. We got a long way to go.
Real work to be done.
Absolutely. We're in the midst of that, of course. We've been pushing hard on calling and texting and postcarding. But when you listen to Abrams, who knows exactly, I mean, nobody has their pulse on the electorate in Georgia better than Stacey Abrams. She is the head of Fair Fight Action, which is a kind of umbrella coalition organization there that has brought together all of these different long-standing organizations in Georgia. So if she's not, I wouldn't say she's feeling confident of victory. I believe that I would take from that clip that she's feeling confident of the chances of victory. And when you're working in a red state, you know, that's really about the best you can do is you can give it everything you've got. You can turn out folks as best you can. And then you just hope that that things break your way.
Interesting. I mean, it's just interesting how, she really is a politician of the whole country, though, just the way she comes across. It's just interesting to watch her.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, she is not just the Georgia, not just a person from Georgia, a leader from Georgia. She just comes across as somebody who has national, a national voice, national standing and a national voice.
Yeah, she doesn't, the work she does against voter suppression and for a more just and inclusive democracy is not Georgia-centric. It is based in Georgia, but you're right. She speaks with a national voice.
Yeah, and it's good. It's important.
Yesterday in Georgia, so here's another data point about Georgia. yesterday in Georgia, Joe Biden came and gave a speech and did a rally with the two candidates, Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff. Also at that rally were Stacey Abrams and Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms. They were there. Incredible, diverse fivesome. That's the way we're trying to go in this country. The Democrats giving it a run. And in Georgia, there they are. They're kind of the Avengers of Georgia politics. But here's what I take away from that moment, that rally. Political leaders at the top levels of our politics, national politics, are very careful to lend their brand and their credibility to down ballot races. They think hard about who they endorse. They don't come and campaign unless there's either a love for the candidate or a sense that the candidate has got a real chance. In 2008, there was a runoff Senate election after Barack Obama won the presidency. There was a runoff Senate election, and Barack Obama did not come and campaign for the Democrat. That was a choice they made. Even though he was immensely popular, Obama didn't want to be seen as overly partisan entering his presidency. So he did not come and campaign in that window of time, which is the same window of time as now between the general presidential election and early January. The Democratic candidate lost and did not lose horribly, but definitely lost. And there have been criticisms of Obama for not coming and also for generally trying to be above the partisan fray. Yesterday, Joe Biden came. He came yesterday. He'll be back. And there is a distinct way that I like watching the way that Biden is not Obama. His speech on Monday, where he absolutely critiqued and talked about the devastation and damage of these claims of fraud by Trump and his colleagues. I thought that was a great critique and strong from Biden, the kind of thing that Obama was reluctant to deliver as a president of his Republicans who are blocking him on every turn. So Biden comes yesterday, campaigns with them there, puts his capital on the line, also signals that he's going to be in the battle, in the fight for recognizing that partisan control of the Senate is so very, very important. And obviously, he would have a very good sense of that, having been in the Senate forever. So I take that as a sign that the Dems feel, A, there's a real shot to win, and that Biden feels comfortable putting his credibility out there, and B, that Biden's going to govern this way, that he's not going to try to be above it all entirely. He's going to, I believe, be twofold. He'll be constantly talking about the need for us to heal and to come together and be united. And because of his persona and the way he talks, there's a genuine and authenticity to that. And I believe he can also engage in the partisanism in a way that doesn't feel overly partisan. He's able to talk about it with a, look, I respect Mitch McConnell, but we're going to beat him. Okay? We're going to beat him. And I like this dimension about Biden. I like that he came to Georgia. I like what it says about the possibilities in Georgia.
And thank you for standing strong to make sure your voices were heard, your votes were counted, and counted, and counted again. I'm starting to feel like I won Georgia three times. I have to say, it feels pretty good. You know, I think all of you just taught Donald Trump a lesson. In this election, Georgia wasn't going to be bullied. Georgia wasn't going to be silenced. Georgia certainly wasn't going to stand by and let Donald Trump or the state of Texas or anyone else come in here and toss out your votes. But you know who didn't stand by? You know who did nothing while Trump, Texas, and others were trying to wipe out every single one of the almost 5 million votes you had cast here in Georgia in November? Your two Republican senators. They stood by. In fact, your two Republican senators fully embraced what Texans were telling the Supreme Court. They fully embraced nullifying nearly 5 million Georgia votes. You might want to remember that come January 5th. Now, I'll try to be generous here in the spirit of the season. Maybe your senators were just confused. Maybe they think they represent Texas. Well, if you want to do the bidding of Texas, you should be running in Texas, not in Georgia. Because you know what? You got a couple of folks running for the United States Senate in this state who aren't confused at all. John Ossoff, Raphael Warnock, they're running to represent Georgia. Georgia.
Joe Biden.
Biden. Isn't he like, he's just almost sweet. There's like a sweetness in the way he delivers his criticisms, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very much. And you know, it reminds me again of how he sounded last night after he talked to Mitch McConnell. I talked to Leader McConnell, you know, and I'm glad he made the statement. And, oh, we're going to fight. We're going to disagree on a lot of things. You know, we're going to fight him. Yeah, it's very interesting. He is he's very much that aspect of the Senate that I guess it's the good side of what can otherwise be a ponderous and, you know, my esteemed colleague from across the aisle sort of way of talking.
Yeah. Yeah. We're gonna battle and we're going to struggle and I'm going to fight for my values. They're going to fight for theirs. I'm not going to belittle them. I'm just going to do everything I can to defeat them. Okay. And I think that, Biden coming to Georgia was seen during the general election by the Democrats as the second best thing that could happen for the campaign during the general election was to have Biden come. The best was to have Barack Obama come. And so I think Obama will come and campaign during the runoff elections because they want him. They need him. But having Biden come was very, very meaningful. And Biden's already there. December 15th, yesterday, he was there. So the Dems are all in. We are all in. But that drop-off and don't turn out has been so high over the years among all voters and particularly among Democrats. So we're battling against that inertia, that reality. This year, what Abrams and others are telling us is that isn't going to happen. That isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen because the stakes are so high. It isn't going to happen because Democrats have had a taste now of some success. And it isn't going to happen because there are organizations and people on the ground that are doing the work. And then there are partners across the country like ourselves that are amplifying that work. Well, that's what it takes in a red state like Georgia. It doesn't take just a good candidate. That's not enough. It's not enough to have a bad Republican candidate. That's not enough either. It takes a good candidate on the Democratic side against a mediocre to bad candidate on the Republican side, paired together with a massive organizational effort on the Democratic side. And then what can tip the scales further is when there's internal fighting and struggles on the Republican side. They're all there. It's all there in Georgia. So I'm really hopeful. I in red states, I never believe that we're going to break through. I just say I'm certain of it. I believe we can. I just believe that we need to do all the work we can. So that's what we're doing. We're going to talk much, much more about Georgia. But this week, 2 days in of early voting, today's Wednesday, so they've done 2 days of early in-person voting, and the numbers of African Americans who have turned out are higher than they were in the general election. That's a good sign for the Democrats. The number of young voters who have turned out higher than they were in the general election at this point. That's a good sign for the Democrats. So we're doing what we need to do to have a chance. To exit on this podcast, Steve, I'd like you to play a little bit of the clip of last night. This was released, a bunch of Broadway folks saying Georgia on my mind. and it's already gone viral in the last 24 hours. Lin-Manuel Miranda and John Ossoff were roommates in college.
They were?
Yeah. This historic hit, redone. So you might play a portion of that, and then I'll catch you tomorrow.
Georgia. The whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia on my mind.
I said Georgia. Through